8 a.m. having arrived. I'm going to call the Committee on Taxes to order. We do not have a quorum yet, but we're going to start our bills. And our first bill up is House File 335. It's Representative Poppy. And so we won't take a motion now. We'll do those types of things later. So Representative Poppy, welcome to the Tax Committee. And I know this is not the first time this bill has appeared before the Tax Committee. So welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, we introduced this bill last year, and actually Representative Davids included it in the tax bill last year. It's a really good bill. I'm hopeful that it has the same fate this year. But I have a local conservation club, the Cedar Valley Conservation Club, who they provide trap and skeet shooting is a rifle range and trap and skeet shooting. And so they are in need of and would like to have a tax exemption for it. So they have a number of ranges there. They are facilities that get used by the Maurer County, my local county sheriff's department, both the Austin and Blooming Prairie police departments. Riverland Community College has a law enforcement program, so they go there for training. But they also do classes, and those classes, conceal and carry classes, and for youth firearms. And it has become, obviously, a popular place for the trap shooting clubs and organizations and students that are coming through. We have a number of students who are now participating in trap shooting as a sport in their high schools. And so they have students from the area schools as well as northern Iowa. So about 200 students each year come, and they participate in the tournaments and in the practice shooting. So what they're trying to do is they are a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, but they're paying for the birds, the clay pigeons. They're having to pay for that. And so there's kind of it gets to be complicated because the students are tax exempt but not the other people, and so they end up paying money toward that, and it just gets to be a little bit complicated and a little bit costly for the club. And they are really a club that is it's a privately owned but publicly offered club, so they pay a lot of money, and they would like to have that go away. And it's a really narrowly crafted bill. There may be 10 clubs in the state that actually would meet and fit the criteria for this bill. So I just ask for your support.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions from members? Anyone in the audience that would care to testify? So welcome. If you would identify yourself and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Tim Spreck. I'm speaking today for the...
Sir, would you spell your last name?
S-P-R-E-C-K. I'm speaking today for the interests of the two organized trapping groups in the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota Trappers Association, the Minnesota Forest Zone Trappers. In the past, I've represented organizations that are very heavily involved in sport shooting. This is an excellent bill, and would like to see it move forward in any form. But what we're here today talking about is the two trapping organizations are mandated to put on youth educational programs as part of their function. They do this free of charge to the youth. It's great PR for trapping, but it also helps indoctrinate young people into proper ethics and everything that is associated with being a responsible trapper. And as a result of this program that they provide, they also have to buy a number of materials, whether it be traps for instructional purposes, printed materials, etc., etc. And I did have a brief conversation with Representative Poppy earlier today, hoping not to blindside her with my testimony, but my hope is that we'll look at expanding this to include all other conservation-oriented nonprofit groups that do good work, especially with youth. And so that's my reason for being here today, to support the bill and hope that I can work with Representative Poppy to expand its scope a little bit as it moves forward.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the testifier? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the audience? All right. Representative Poppy, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It is a good bill. I appreciate its support, and I invite people to sign on. It is House File 335. Thank you.
Very good. And thank you, Representative Poppy. And what we will do is when we get a quorum, we'll come back and make the proper motions and so forth. But Representative Poppy, you don't have to stay around for that if you don't want.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Move to House File 447. We do now have a quorum, so let's just catch up on a few things here. So we're going to go back. Representative Les Lagarde moves House File 335 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax bill and moves to lay over House File 335 for possible inclusion into the omnibus tax bill. All right, so before we hear from Representative Becker Finn, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of February 5th, 2019? Representative Lesch moves the approval of the February 5th, 2019 minutes. Any discussion on that? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendments are approved. What did I say? The amendments were not approved. The minutes were approved. also, if you notice, there is a sheet of paper in your folders on bill referrals. And on that, we have 15 bills that are being referred to the Property and Local Tax Division. So that's included in your folder and also will be on the website. So with that, Representative Becker Finn, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 447 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Representative Becker Finn moves House File 447 be included into the omnibus tax bill. Please proceed.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. We've now heard more of my bills in the last 24 hours than I had in the previous biennium. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is actually another bill that had been brought forward in the last biennium, very similar to Representative David's bill from earlier this year. It's a little bit different in how it gets there. It's the cost would be $80,000 in the next biennium and then $90,000 after that. And I thought it might be helpful if Ms. Dalton could just quickly summarize the difference between this bill and the bill that we previously heard of Representative Davids.
Very good. Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill in practicality does exactly, is identical to one of the three provisions that were in the Davids bill that was heard last year. This is the provision that essentially allows the Commissioner of Public Safety to make tax-exempt expenditures out of the fire safety account for equipment that is going to the local governments. The one thing that keeps it from being quite the same language-wise is that this one basically expands the existing exemptions, and this is actually what was asked for by public safety last year. It does not add the additional accessories for ambulance and fire equipment, but the public safety account may not be making those purchases. So, in effect, it's the Department of Revenue is estimating the same cost for this part of the provision.
Thank you, Ms. Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Becker Finn.
Yep, thank you. And so just to be clear, I think so, and I'm sure many people are watching this at 8:05 in the morning, but you know, purchases by our fire departments, if they're made directly, are already tax exempt. So what this is doing is making it tax exempt if it's purchased wider, so they're the public safety account is purchasing them, and you know, they can get a better deal buying that way. So I do have a couple testifiers. If we could go ahead with that.
Yeah, let's go with the testifier. So if they would please come down.
Good
Welcome. Good morning. If you'd identify yourself and begin your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Chris Parsons. I'm president of the Minnesota Professional Firefighters. And I would first like to apologize to Representative Beckerfin for us being a few minutes late. You'd think after 6 years of me being walking the halls down here at the Capitol Complex, I would know where room 5 is. But I worked last night, and it was kind of a late night. So I would like to thank Representative Beckerfin for bringing this bill forward. It's a needed bill. My group represents departments or folks that work at departments that aren't able to purchase the equipment on their own and need the fire safety account or the state through the Department of Public Safety to purchase this equipment on their behalf. And so this would help them get the tax benefit that that cities are now enjoying. And it's pretty much as simple as that. And with that, I take any questions or turn it over to the next testifier.
Mr. Parsons, unrelated, but on a night like last night where you've got kind of all the snowfall on the streets, because I was out and about a little bit, how much does that add to response time when you have something like that?
It adds quite a bit because I work on a ladder truck, and it's about 80,000 pounds fully loaded. And when you're turning corners and, you know, and you're also trying to get somewhere quickly, and it's also an emergency that you're trying to get to, it can add to a good, you know, it can make the experience all that more harrowing. So we do try to go slow, as slow as safely possible, still get there in a good amount of time because, you know, there's still an emergency to take care of. And the sooner we get there, the sooner we can make things better. So it does add quite a bit, and it is helpful. Folks, pull to the right.
Good reminder.
We just a reminder, don't stop. Pull to the right and slow down and then stop. Thank you.
Very good public service announcement there. Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Neil Shostrom. I'm a battalion chief with the City of Roseville Fire Department. I would just like to echo what Mr. Parsons said. This bill would continue to support what we as municipalities experience with the tax incentives not having to pay sales tax to what the state is purchasing through the fire safety account. Just to give you sort of an idea on cost of equipment, our breathing apparatus, which is the air packs that we wear on our back, run somewhere in the area between $5,000 and $6,000. So if the fire safety account is assisting a municipality or department in purchasing that, for your average 30 member department, you might find savings for that department in an, you know, area of $10,000 to $12,000. So it can be pretty significant because that then equates to additional pieces of equipment that the firefighters can receive and then utilize for their jobs. So I would encourage support.
Thank you, Mr. Solstrom. Any questions from members for either the testifier or the author of the bill? I'm sorry, Representative Fabian.
Mr. Chair, this isn't a question for them. It's a question for you. How much is added to the response time with 2 inches of snow in Dilworth?
I don't know. It moves pretty quickly, actually. So, but I don't know how much that would add. We're getting a lot of snow, though, now this year. So, but, you know, when you're out and about like that, like last night, I mean, just everything is snarled. It's just so slow. And just even trying to get these emergency vehicles past cars when there's two lined up already, I don't even know how. You just have to kind of wait. But any Representative Fabian, any Roseau War Road games that occurred last year? Any updates to provide, you know, wrestling or anything? I know hockey, they've been tying, but basketball.
The girls' basketball team is doing awesome.
Okay, yeah, the Roseau.
Eight champions last year.
They are.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, testifiers. Anyone else from the audience that would care to speak for or against House File 447? Seeing none, Representative Beckerfin, any closing comments?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a great example of some of the good we can do for our communities via the tax bill. I know as a new member to the tax committee, you know, I had comments from people in my district of well, that sounds really boring. And I said, well, but there's so many good things that we get to do in the tax committee. So I appreciate you hearing the bill and encourage folks to support it, and then would renew my motion to have it laid over for possible inclusion.
Very good. Representative Becker-Finn, renews her motion to lay over House File 447 for possible inclusion of the tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. Next, we have House File 312, and Representative Davids moves House File 312 for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill. And Representative Gunther, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I think this bill is here for the fourth time. Yeah. Representative Davids probably introduced it at least twice before. This bill is for a sales tax exemption on animal shelters or humane societies. Give you an example. Very often they have to euthanize cats. Cats are not as appreciated as dogs are.
Really?
That's what they tell me. So
we'll get that on the record.
Do that.
Representative Gunther.
This bill is, as Chairman David used to say, this is the puppy bill. It costs the animal shelter $74 to have a veterinarian take care of a cat to get it ready for adoption. So you got to have sales tax on 70-some dollars right there. And then not only do we have to have sales tax on the costs that go in to preparing that dog for adoption, we also have to have sales tax on the fundraisers they have. If you have a bake sale, I'm sorry, in the grocery store you don't have to pay sales tax. But in an animal shelter you have to pay sales tax. Hot dogs and pop, sales tax. So they are really under the gun. This is mostly in Greater Minnesota, volunteers that do this. And it's long, long overdue that we eliminate the sales tax on animal shelters. And I think it's the appropriate and right thing to do. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd take any questions.
Representative Gunther, and this is for nonprofit animal shelters, is that
right?
Correct? Okay. Very good. Do we have any questions from members of Representative Gunther? See none. Anyone from the audience that would care to testify for or against House File 312?
Yes.
Please come forward.
Welcome back.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. If you would please identify yourself.
As I get a chair
on me. You bet. Take your time.
I'm Elaine Hansen. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Pet Breeders Association, the Minnesota Council of Dog Clubs, and the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, all of whom have an interest in this bill. We have no objection whatever to the factors that Representative Gunther cited, exempting nonprofit animal shelters and rescues from paying taxes on the goods and services that they purchase. That seems very, very reasonable to us. That's similar to the concern expressed in Representative Poppy's bill on conservation clubs. They shouldn't have to pay taxes in order to do their good work. The part of this bill that concerns us is exempting the sales from sales tax. The groups themselves don't pay that tax. It's not money out of their coffers. It's money out of the pockets of the purchasers of the pets that they sell and of the ancillary goods that they frequently sell with them. And it amounts to a subsidy of the taxpayers to give them an incentive to make their purchase from a nonprofit rather than from someone who is producing purpose-bred dogs, and paying taxes not only, or I'm sorry, collecting taxes not only on their sales, but paying taxes on the income that they derive from those sales. There just doesn't seem to be an equitable reason in our view for providing that kind of subsidy. It would be somewhat similar to saying that if you buy a used car, you don't have to pay sales tax. If you buy a new car, you do. And further exempting the income from that car, that used car dealer's sales, from income tax. I believe that last year the Department of Revenue gave an estimate of about $1 million in sales tax revenue that would be lost. I realize that that's in the scheme of Minnesota's budget, that's a totally insignificant amount of money. However, it does have an impact on what people who are looking to buy a pet face. There's a $6.85 incentive per $100 to buy a random source animal from a nonprofit rather than a purpose-bred animal. And we're just concerned about the inequity of that and why there should be, in effect, a subsidy for that purpose. The nonprofits have, I'll quote you some figures here. From their 990s that are filed, we've learned that in a three-year period, the sales of pets by those organizations have gone from $8.4 million to $10.3 million. Their gross receipts are up from $24.1 to $28.5 million. Excuse me. And their net assets have increased from $43.6 million to $47.4 million. That's just the top 30 of over 200 nonprofit shelters that are registered with Pet Finders, which is sort of the equivalent of Craigslist in the pet world. If there are any questions, I'd be very happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Any questions for Ms. Hansen? Representative Gunther.
Ms. Hansen is very informed, and I'd also like to point out that the people that go to an animal shelter or a dog pound to adopt an animal to prevent it from being euthanized, this animal was roaming the streets of various towns, is a completely different person than those that want to buy an animal for specific purposes. A good hunting dog can cost well over $1,000. And that person looks at bloodlines and everything else. We're talking about two completely different species here. One of them is an animal that was picked up, that was a stray, and they hope that they can adopt it and get it ready to be adopted before they have to put it to sleep. The other one is bred for specific purposes, and they very often bring very high amounts of money. So comparing the two, completely wrong.
No. All right. Thank you very much. Ms. Hansen, thank you very much for your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other testifiers that would like to speak to House File 312? Seeing none. Representative Gunther, any closing comments?
Well, members, the person that originally brought this bill to me died. So in her memory, I'd like to have it passed again, and hopefully some governor will sign it this time.
Very good. Thank you so much. Representative Davids renews his motion to lay over House File 312 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Representative Gunther, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Final bill for the day, House File 435. We've got Representative Olson, would anyone care to move that bill? Representative Schultz moves House File 435 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Representative Olson, good morning, and please present your bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you for hearing this bill. So HF 435 creates an exemption from the sales and tax and use tax for materials and supplies used in the equipment incorporated into a private redevelopment project on the site of the former Duluth Central High School. And so Duluth is a great city, as many of you know, but we're not immune to challenges, and we are our schools are facing a few of those, as we have seen a decline in enrollment, and we need some assistance. And so the assistance is to attract private sector development that can help Duluth remain a regional, educational, medical, and industrial leader that will benefit all of Minnesota. So through the redevelopment of this site, it will add to the local, county, and state tax rolls, create jobs, and have a positive impact. This is helping to spur the development and make this beautiful yet challenging site more attractive. And with that, I have Superintendent Bill Gronseth of the Duluth Schools to tell a little bit more.
Very good. Welcome, Superintendent Gronseth. Do we have things ready to go yet?
She's trying.
Okay, yeah, let's hold up for a second.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and distinguished members of the Tax Committee for this opportunity to talk to you today. As Representative Olson said, I'm Bill Gronseth, Superintendent of the Duluth Schools, and I'm here to speak in support of House File 435. It provides an incentive for private development of the former high school through exempting redevelopment construction materials, sales, use, and tax. During a community-wide forum, the school district developed a long-range facilities plan, and we reduced the number of school buildings that we had in operation and identified properties to be sold for development. The central property is the final property that we have left in this process. It's a 77-acre property, and it's one of the largest parcels that is developable within the city. It's a beautiful site, which if we get it up on the screen, you'll see the panoramic view of Duluth from this site. It's quite breathtaking. And private redevelopment of the site would give us an opportunity to develop the market rate demand for new housing, encourage new businesses, job growth, and it would also increase the tax base, not only for the school district, but the city and the county as well. And we have had developers express interest in the site. In fact, we even had a purchase agreement for property of the site. But there are significant challenges with the site. It needs a public road through it. It's mostly rock. It needs new infrastructure. And these economic challenges just prove too costly for developers. And so we are seeking to create an incentive package. We have been working closely with the city and the county to develop that. And as a school district, we are not developers, and we need help of the local and state government to be able to create a package that is attractive to developers and economically sound plan. So passage of this bill would be a concrete benefit to developers who are looking at the site and who have interest in developing a mixed-use property on this site, like we've seen used with other properties that we've sold during this process. So we respectfully urge you to support House File 435, and again, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you on this matter.
Thank you very much. Representative Spazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, just looking at line 1.14, it talks about $5 million, and then it kind of talks a little bit about only if it gets back to the tax rolls. So let's say a church approaches the district to buy a piece of property. Would they receive? I guess they wouldn't really need it. They probably don't spend it anyway, but would that only whatever the final use of the property is valued at for the redevelopment? Like if it's a tax exempt entity, would that project part not buy?
Superintendent Gronseth?
That's correct. Only if it returns to the tax rolls would this apply. So if it was a nonprofit such as a church, it would not apply.
And then
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then just kind of what's the value of the 77 acres?
Superintendent Gronseth?
It's currently marketed at $10 million.
Okay.
Any other questions? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to follow up, Superintendent, let's just say that Swedzinski Development comes in and as a private investor and takes advantage of the tax credits, the sales taxes that are there, and then Swedzinski Development sells it to a nonprofit so it would come off of the local tax rolls. Is that something that's been factored into this?
Superintendent Gronseth?
I haven't considered that.
Okay.
I would defer to Representative Olson.
And maybe Ms. Dalton could address that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the developer has to be a for-profit. It can't be, and so it has to come off the tax rolls at some point. But it does. There is no covenant in here that says it has to remain off the tax rolls for remain on the tax rolls for 10 years or 20 years or in perpetuity to get this exemption. Is the person who is doing the development paying property taxes on this property, then they get the refund. If they subsequently sell to a nonprofit, there is no clawback provision.
Yeah. Superintendent, Representative Fabian.
You're the chair. You go ahead, and I'll wait.
Okay, we can come back. So, Superintendent Ronseth, you're looking at a kind of a financial incentive package for this area. Besides the sales tax exemption, and sounds like some tax abatement, are there some other incentives in the package that are being offered?
We've met multiple times with the city and the county, and they have been very supportive of development of this property. They have met with interested developers, and depending on what the project is, they have different tools that they would plan to apply and use to make an attractive package, depending on what kind of funding the developer is using. If they're trying to go for any specific funding sources, there may be different tools that the city and county would apply.
Superintendent Grunza, so if someone came in today and was interested, what would all, and let's say this was approved, what would all be part of the package? I mean, has the city or any other entity committed right now to something that they would do? Superintendent?
Sorry, Chair Markhart. They have shared that they are committed. They do. They would consider a TIF district. They would consider other ways of providing funding. One of the pieces for this property is that it is currently all one parcel, and if a developer wanted to break it into separate parcels, it would need a public road through it. The county has shared that they would be willing to help with a county road once a master plan was developed.
Thank you. Representative Fabian, did you have any follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so, Representative Olson, do you think it would be wise to build in some sort of some language into the bill as it moves forward to maybe make some changes, so just to protect the city, and its tax base? I mean, it's up to you. I'm not going to make. But I do have a question for staff.
Yeah.
And we've seen these things before, Mr. Chair. How does revenue audit, the purchases and so forth to make sure that things actually are, and I'm guessing it has something to do with one of the statute numbers that are in the bill, but help me out here.
Ms. Dalton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the statute that you're referring to is 297A.75, and it's the mechanism for refunds. What happens is that the contractors and subcontractors submit their sales tax information to the developer or the owner, and the owner makes the claim for refund. The department has the ability then, because it has the information on the contractors and subcontractors, if it feels that what's being submitted is unreasonable, they can go back to those contractors and subcontractors and actually audit them.
Very good. Any other member questions for the superintendent? So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Representative Olson, do you have any other testifiers?
I do not, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so questions for Representative Olson and Representative Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just Representative Olson, since we weren't able to get the video to work, could you just describe where it's located roughly in the city so we could kind of think through where it is, as many of us have visited the beautiful city of Duluth and may be able to kind of place it in our minds, if you could describe it a little bit.
And before you respond, Representative Olson, we can email out those pictures to members so you can see what this project looks like. So, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Becker Finn. The property is right in the central part of Duluth, on up on the hill. So if you think, if you are kind of in downtown Duluth and you're heading up towards the mall, kind of that big corridor, the Mesava Avenue up through the central part of the town, it sits on the hill. It's a beautiful, and Superintendent Grandseth can come too. This is where the old Duluth Central High School was. So for many years, many people have probably visited or been there for activities. But it sits in the central part of Duluth and is a great location, both in its vantage point of the lake and its location in the city.
Superintendent Grandseth, anything you want to add to that?
I would just add that there is a current development right below the site, and then above is our central entrance business corridor that has some housing behind it, and this site sits between those two, and it would be a wonderful connection between our downtown and central hillside and our residences above the hill.
Very good. All right, thank you. Any other folks that would like to testify from the audience for or against on House File 435? Seeing none, any other members' questions? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank Superintendent Grandseth for bringing this forward and Representative Olson for taking the lead on this bill. There are any developers listening or watching today, I would encourage them to go visit the site. It would be a beautiful residential area with the views. And it's not the old Central High School that's near downtown. This is the second Central High School that has failed and is no longer needed in Duluth. So we've consolidated our schools and are selling properties, and this property, if we sold it, could really help our public schools. So I hope the developers will check it out. Thanks.
Representative Olson, any closing words?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and ask for your support.
Thank you very much. Representative Schultz renews her motion to lay over House File 435 for possible inclusion in the tax omnibus bill. Representative Olson, thank you so much. Members, tomorrow we have Section 179 Bonus Depreciation Day, so don't miss this excitement coming up. And Representative Davids, to hear ever any comments that taxes are not exciting, just we actually erase that off the record. The audio, we go back and erase comments like that off the record when it does occur.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Davids.
That be erased and forgotten from our memory forever. I've always considered tax committee to be simply a page turner.
Yes, absolutely. So. Members, thank you for your work today. We are adjourned.